September the 11th of this year marks the 10-year anniversary of the Gustafsson or Chipatin Lake Siege of 1995, the largest paramilitary operation in Canadian history, with over 77,000 rounds of ammunition fired at 18 traditional Chipatin defenders. On the weekend of September 10th through 11th, 2005, Chipatin defenders will gather in a ceremony of remembrance on Swetmik territories. In the next half hour, you will hear from some of the defenders and those who supported their struggle to protect the land, the language, and the people of the Swetmik Nation.
Hotter people, Ojibwe,
we're at Chipatin, Gustafsson Lake. We're here 10 years later, and you're planning to come back here on the 10th and the 11th, because there's going to be a gathering up here. Why is it that you're going to make the trip back here after 10 years?
Because a lot of our people suffered here, and I think it's real important that we come back here, because a lot of our people suffered here and almost took their lives. I didn't know what I was going to find. I just wanted to come back here because it's a spiritual place for our people to come here.
And the gathering that's coming up this weekend, what's your hopes for that?
I think just to tell the story and the truth, what the government did to our people and the military. And that a lot of people, if we do stand up again, that there will be more supporters out there for us if the military tries to pull that again. Mm-hmm. I think it's really good to celebrate that we're still here after 10 years. We're going to have, for the Sequatmuk people, we just like to celebrate through, stick games, too. So, and we're going to have a little bit of fun. Like and drummers food. And singers and food.
And what will people find when they come here?
The land is still here and the medicines and everything's still here, you know. Mm-hmm. And all our prayers are still here in this sacred area.
Did you want to say anything else?
No. But I wanted to go check that out over there.
What's that? Oh, the tree?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go look.
That's why a lot of our people were here, is because, the Sundance, they suffer for the next generations. That's why, they take 4 years out of their life, right? Mm-hmm. Should we walk over there then?
So your mom brought you up here a lot when you were a kid?
Yeah.
What were the kinds of things that you did up here?
Just the sun dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is Mary, inviting everyone to the 10-year anniversary of the 1995 Gustafsson Lake standoff. Bring your camping gear, includes your plates and cups and tents and sleeping bags, etc. Bring food for the feast. Anniversary gathering is Saturday, September the 10th, and Sunday, September the 11th, 2005.
Yeah, my name is Wolverine, also known with Meganus, from here in Keala. And that's good for the people to listen, because you're going to hear the other side of the story that never come out. The RCMP, and with all their disinformation campaign waged against us back in 95, now we have a time to bring out the other side of the story. As you see in the video that we had, that these were taken by the RCMP themselves. And yet it took us 4 days to argue for this in the court of law. Bruce Josephson, the judge in our case, pretty near never allow us to have these tapes. That's a 46 and a half hour long tape made right in Command Center. And there's 6.5 minutes missing from that 46 and a half hour long tape. Now, that was their version of the other side of the story. There was only one side of the story, according to Doe Sands. Now, you're going to hear the other side of the story. The story is about law. Law and the rights of the indigenous people here in B.C., in Canada. Laws that that the courts, the judges, don't want to hear. That's what we were bringing out. And so the orders went out for shoot to kill. And I was one of the targets. They missed me. I think it was six tries in my life. But they missed it each time. This is a story I'd never heard before. I'm still targeted yet, but it don't matter to me. Because I'm a warrior, had been for many years. I defended the rights of Native people for many years. A lot of people know this. You know, I brought out the story everywhere I went, the Japanese on a peace boat. And that voyage, 11, 12 days. I had the speaking engagements on there. They also know the story. They also know the story that the RCMP themselves are taking all the videos. They shot them themselves. And above the law, too. They got that story. They also got that story down Chiapas when I went down there. Down to Guatemala. And the last trip which I made in Beijing, China. Where the Canadian ambassador to China walked out on us. Because he didn't want to hear what we had to say. As an activist for many years, I would give the Chinese the real history of Canada. And before I left to China, they passed me over a document which stated that I shouldn't talk too harshly about Canada or China just for a return for that trip over there. But as an activist, I don't work for them. I work for the grassroots people here, or here in Canada. It'd be good for you people to listen to this story, because I have quite a bit I can bring out. You will hear the other side of the story. Well, what you don't hear is what happened to Herb Gray, the Deputy Prime Minister, who gave it a go-ahead for the army to come in to assist the RCMP back in 95. Now the APC belonged to the UN. This is a part that nobody hears about. Why, for only 18 people who brought out the rule of law. We had to go against 450 RCMP officers plus the Canadian Army. 8 or 9 APCs, which one tried to run me over. These are some of the things they're going to bring out. And for you people, the RCMP themselves, you better hear. Because we're not going to stop fighting. We're going to carry on. Whether it's politically, we're going to carry on. Do it.
Janice Billy, Swapmukka.
And in terms of the gathering that's happening this weekend, what do you think is important about remembering Gustafson Lake 10 years later?
Well, I think it's really important to commemorate the event and to recognize the people who were there, the elders, women, and youth, and warriors that were there because they stood up to protect the land and to protect the laws, the old laws that are based that were what were actually made by the colonizers when they first came. And I guess to remember what happens when you do stand up, like the force of the RCMP and the Canadian Army against a few people, 18 people, I understand, that were there, mostly elders, women, and young teenagers, that they would use the whole Canadian Army and the RCMP to stop the people from standing up for their rights and what they believe in.
Mm-hmm. And what are your expectations for this weekend? What do you hope will happen?
Well, I'm just hoping that we have a peaceful gathering where we're not harassed by anyone and that we could meet with others who believe in the same things we do and continue the work that we have to do.
And do you think that even 10 years after, that Gustafson still has an impact today?
Yes, I think it does, because people have never given up. Despite the force of the Canadian Army and the RCMP, people have never given up. There are still people fighting for, and I don't really recognize it as rights. I recognize it as our responsibilities that we have as Tsleil-Waututh people for the land, the language, the culture, and the people, to always protect our land for future generations and all the things that the land provides for us. So they're not so much rights, they're responsibilities that we have to uphold.
From the Adams Lake Band, and I'm here to support the Gustafson Lake anniversary, 10-year anniversary. I think the commemoration will be great for all the people that were involved, and some of them have passed on, like our good friend Leanne, and she was really involved in that, and I think it's really important for us to remember the people that have passed on that were a real supporter.
And for the event that was happening in 1995, do you still think that some of those issues that people were raising back then are still relevant today, 10 years later?
They're still relevant, I think, and they're still being ignored as usual.
Yeah.
I think by just going up there and just claiming it back and just making a stand for it, I think showed a lot of gumption on people's part, like standing together and saying, no, you can't just come and take whatever's not yours. We can't do that, so why should they be able to? I think one of the lessons was that, for me, was that that was really great, was to see my children involved in this. And they were involved in the Peace Oka Run, and they're still continuing these kind of not, well, I'd say, I'll say participation, because, like, they believe in fighting for the land and fighting for the people, because, like, my daughter has a son now, and she still agrees with what happened back then, and we're still worried about what's going to be left for him when he grows up. I think with the history of our land, the history of our people, because we were nomads a long time ago before we were settled on one reserve, I think it's important that if we could learn a lot more about our history, a lot more, like, you know, like, instead of what the schools just teach us, I think it's important that we teach our children right from the time they're little how we used the land, how we went berry picking, fishing, hunting, trapping, and made homes from the land, and used every little bit of everything we got from the land. We never wasted anything, and to protect the land, not abuse it.
And for people who might hesitate about this, the events this weekend, the gathering that's happening this weekend, what message would you share with them about their own hesitation?
Just do it. You know, like, I put, you know, like, there's fears in everything today, like, their fear of cut off of this and cut off of that, because, like, you're certainly blackballed if you stand up against the wrong person. Just, you know, never mind about that. You know, like, if you're good, you do things right, it'll come back to you. I just think that it's really important for us all to get up and make a stand, like, show our children we're not afraid, show our grandchildren we're not afraid. Get up and just do it. Thank you.
From the Kwakwaka'wakw Nation on the West Coast.
And in terms of the gathering that's being planned for this weekend, why do you think it's important to mark what happened 10 years ago at Chebeton Lake?
I think it's important because it's an important part of our history as a people and as a movement, and it's one that, like, the colonial history isn't going to recognize, or if they do, it's going to be like a smear or part of their disinformation. So it's really important for us to always remember our history, and this is one way to do it, by going to the location where it occurred at and honoring the people who made the stand there, because they're still with us, and there's still so much to learn from that part of our history.
You talked about learning. Are there lessons that you've learned from the 10 years since the standoff in 1995?
Oh, yes, certainly. Most of our, like, our movement that we've had for the last 10 years is largely a result of what happened in 1995. So we're always learning from it, and it inspired a lot of people, and I think it enlightened a lot of people about the fact that there aren't any treaties here in the province, and it really woke people up to the idea of sovereignty, that you're a sovereign nation, and challenging the Canadian and BC laws and exposing them for the fraud that they are. So I think it was really important, like that. So, yes.
Whenever we look back at the media that was around in 1995, they tended to focus much more on people than the issues, and people wanted to talk about the land, but that didn't have much attention in the media. What do you think about the media's attention to land today? Or have they learned themselves about the land here in BC?
I think their view of the land remains the same, which is, you know, that it's either owned by the government or it's owned by private individuals. But certainly, I think during the standoff, yeah, like the demonization that they did of the people, like the character assassination and that they did against the people who were involved, that was like a way of discrediting them and undermining their message and making people not take their message seriously. So when they were able to portray like some of the different people, the way they portrayed them as being almost insane, then their message itself is, you know, comes across as being deranged or, you know, somehow crazy as well. But it actually has a lot of support here in BC among Indigenous people. And that was one of the things, like the president of the Union of BC Indian Chiefs, they came out with a statement, and he said that himself too, like their views aren't extremist, they're actually shared by most people here in the, you know, most Native people here in the province. In terms of like, in that way, the government's view hasn't changed, of course. You know, they still claim that they own the land and they have sole jurisdiction, so.
And when you hear of people who are hesitant to commemorate something that happened 10 years ago, particularly the events at Chebeton Lake and the so-called violence that occurred there, what message do you have for people who might be hesitant 10 years later to remember September the 11th, 1995?
Well, I think people, if they don't want to question the way society is or something, then something like what happened at Chapatin really threatens them and it threatens their way of life, so maybe that's why they don't want to consider it. But it's something you have to consider because it's a part of the world we live in, and the times aren't gonna get any easier. It, you know, things are just gonna get harder, and our people have to prepare for that. And things like what happened at Chapatin, that's a part of our learning process, and you know, we have to learn from it, and we have to be prepared for the future.
And for the youth of today, when you think and consider the role of youth 10 years ago, what message would you have particularly for the youth today who are becoming active here on Turtle Island?
Well, the youth, it's always their responsibility to carry on the way of the traditions of their ancestors. And it's important for the young people to take that seriously and to know that they have to, it's the responsibility to defend their people and their land and their way of life really rests with them, because they're the ones with, you know, with the strength and vitality to carry on movement, because the older generation passes away, or they're the youth are the continuation of the generation, and they're the ones that the survival of it really depends on, especially now today when so much of the Native population is comprised of youth. So they're a really important part of our movement.
Would you have anything else that you would want people across the country of Canada to know about this, considering that the events in 1995 were 5 years after the events on the East Coast that also propelled the land and also propelled sovereignty into a lot of people's minds? I'm particularly thinking about what happened in terms of the defense of Ganasatage.
Talking about in the broader picture, I think it's important to, well, just looking at what's happening with the Western system overall, I think that it's important for people to, you know, to get ready for a time of conflict in the future. That's a more urgent thing to do right now. That's one reason, like, why we're trying to organize our movement, is so that we can survive into the future. Yeah, that's all I'd have to say about that.
Would you have anything else to share in terms of coming together this weekend and what your hopes might be for this anniversary?
Well, I just hope to go up there and to learn from the people who were there, and to make sure that part of our history isn't forgotten. and just to commemorate it and honor it, honor the people who were there and the sacrifice that they made for us and the contribution they made to our movement.
Well, thank you very much.
Free people, hotter people, Ojibwe, Mohawk, Dakota people, Blackfoot people, Lakota people, Apache people.
Yeah, man, you know, this for all nations, man. You don't hear your name, I mean you too. Hold up, we gotta keep it together, you know.
My native elders, my dear native elders, please forgive my peers for they know not what they do. Life's a hard thing, but that's no excuse, cause in the past men were the heads of the tribe. Now very few make it out the rest alive. I'm sorry for the stabbing and shooting that transpired. And tell Lookum, I'm sorry for those who chose the path to wear fists, bloody chick's nose. I'm also sorry for the dealing and stealing the line and cheating the priest and the deacon, the residential mistreating, the drug addiction and alcoholism, colonialism and niggas that's locked up in prison. On top of all that, please just take my hand. I'm a lost soul born to a man who didn't understand the main plan and path that was on. I'm sorry, Muslim, where the hell did we go wrong?
Creepy people.